Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, welcome inside. Final hour tonight, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Special delivery, Steve DeSager in for Harmon tonight. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be. So here we are, breaking down the controversy at the end of Iowa and UConn. The illegal screen called on UConn's final possession. Instead of a chance to hit a shot to win the game, they turn it over to Iowa. It's a horrendous call. It's a horrendous call to make at that moment. I don't know anybody that can stand up and say, yes, specifically, this is why this is a great call. People are trying. People are, oh, you
no,
have
in
to
fact, what's trending on Twitter is literally the phrase terrible call.
Yeah, that's the first one. Is that people are trying because people want attention. Oh, I see everybody thinks this, and I'm going to tell you why this is a bad call. This is how the call sounded at the time. Again, that is the biggest controversy in basketball this year. UConn gets the ball to Beckers, who passes out of it.
My goodness.
And each team had a foul to give. I can't tell.
Looks
if
it's like turnover.
Are they calling a turnover? Are they calling a foul? Yeah, they're calling a foul. Yeah, oh my goodness, they're calling a foul. Marshall tried to make it through a screen, and they are calling a push off on UConn.
So no shot for Connecticut on that possession.
This is going to turn the ball over to Iowa with 4 seconds left to go. Wow, that's some kind of call to make right there.
All we needed was a crowd noise there, Jason Smith.
Yeah, play-by-play, Jason Smith.
And a few million bucks for the rights and all of that.
Yeah, Fox Sports Radio.
We can play the call, actually, in the final seconds. UConn down one on ESPN, who did pay for the rights.
A trip to the title game on the line. Mule, the drive. 5 seconds left. Looking for Beckers and the offensive foul. An offensive foul on Edwards with 3.9 to go.
So then they had to foul Iowa's Caitlin Clark on purpose, and she only made one of two free throws, but after the second was missed, Iowa got possession still. There was not a UConn rebound. And eventually UConn's offense never got a possession again. What you just heard, that turnover on the illegal screen, that was their last offensive possession of the night.
Oof. So that's how it went. Look, we've told you a lot tonight, just how bad it is. Officials, hey, yes, from the people don't come to the games to see you referee. Yes, they do. Yeah, yeah, all of it. Yes, conspiracy theorists. Yes, I can't disagree with you. Let's hear from Paige Beckers, and we're going to hear from Gino Auriemma. Their opinion of that call on Aliyah Edwards that gave the ball and the game to Iowa. First, here's Paige Beckers.
Everybody can make a big deal of that one single play, but not one single play wins a basketball game or loses a basketball game. I feel like there was a lot of mistakes that I made that could have prevented that play from even being that big or causing the game. So, yeah, you can look at one play and say, oh, that was like that killed us or that hurt us, but we should have done a better job. I should have done a better job of making sure we didn't leave the game up to chance like that and leave the game up to one bad call going our way and that deciding it. So, yeah, maybe that was a tough call for us, but I feel like I could have done a better job preventing that from even happening.
Now, pretty classy statement from Paige Beckers mm-hmm. there. But you could tell as she's talking, yeah, the more I talk about this, the more that call sucked. Like, you could tell that. Yeah, the more I talk about it, now I'm upset.
Well, it
now
wasn't great.
Now I'm really upset, yeah. It's like the woman who said, hey, the Dodgers treated me great when I caught Ohtani's ball, and I got a couple of balls, and then a few out, and I was like, no, wait a minute. No, they didn't treat me right. This ball was worth $100,000. Look, the elephant in the room for UConn is this. Two big things. Because Beckers makes a good point before we get to Gino. The biggest thing for UConn, and we talked about this going to the fourth quarter, was what was UConn going to have left? Because they only play six, and this was going to be the time where things were going to get really dicey for them.
Foul trouble that we talked about at the time.
Yeah, what did I tell you to look for? If you're a conspiracy theorist, whistles being blown on UConn and putting them in foul trouble, opening things up for Iowa to make shots. Fouls were 18 for Iowa, 9 on, or 18 for UConn, 9 for Iowa. So there you go. But going to the fourth quarter, what were they going to have left? You're talking about a deep run into the NCAA tournament. They only play six players. And you could tell they just weren't the same. They weren't as sharp as they were in the first quarter and a half. As the game went on, Iowa was able to get a little bit looser, a little bit more into their flow, and they were able to put points on the board. But the thing is, for Becker, she went a full quarter. She played 40 minutes, okay? Becker's played 40 minutes tonight. And
again,
she went a full quarter without scoring. From the midway point of the third quarter to the midway point of the fourth quarter when Iowa started to take control of this game. And this is your second best player in the country. And she goes a whole quarter without scoring until she hits a big three with about 5 minutes left. That kind of started the UConn comeback. So that's you know, the two big things you can say for UConn is that, yeah, okay, yeah, I get it. You were a little tired. You had that bad call. But, wow. Gino Auriemma has called Paige Beckers the best player in the country, not Caitlin Clark. I get he's doing that for his kid and his player, and I understand that. Maybe outside of Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers is the best, but not a great game. 17 points on 7-17 shooting, again, an entire quarter where she doesn't score. Because this is where, hey, when Caitlin Clark scores, your best player answers. And Paige Beckers is there. I mean, all the ballyhoodness of Beckers coming back from the big injury, and she came into the game, she was going to take over the game. She was going to be Caitlin Clark. They were in the same draft class and everything else. And Beckers just did not have a good game. And that's a big thing. And that, you know, you talk about something else that hasn't been talked about a lot. And that's, boy, even Caitlin Clark did everything she could to get to her points. And she didn't have a great game, but she had enough. But, boy, a little bit more from Paige Beckers, and maybe that's a different outcome. And I think that's kind of what she's thinking of, is that I did not play well. Because she didn't. She did not play well. She was invisible a lot of times. I didn't see her look to try to get open. I didn't see her try to fight through screens, fight around for the ball, and say, give it to me. When things are getting tough and we're down 10, give me the ball. This is my time to get us back in. This is my time for the game. I didn't see a lot of that. And I didn't see her affect the game a ton. And then that's a big, big thing for UConn, because not many buddies talking about it because we're talking about this foul. But boy, Becker's not playing well. That's a big mm-hmm. circle around it.
Well, we talked about the Iowa problems with the turnovers in the first half. Caitlin Clark wound up with 7 assists, 4 turnovers. Becker's 3 assists, 4 turnovers. Becker's highlight was one of those moments when we mentioned in the fourth quarter, it looks like, oh, maybe Iowa can start to breathe now. I don't know about coasting in the final minutes, but this is the best it has looked for their chances to win all game right now. It's just over 4 minutes left. Iowa, which was down 12 in the first half, is beating UConn 66-59. But after a Mule steal, Beckers hits a three-pointer, and they're right back in the game. And then in the final minute, Mule with the steal, and she herself hits the three-pointer to get them right back in it, down one, and then, you know, all heck broke loose in the final seconds that we've talked about. But Beckers should have been a little better because, like Clark, she played all 40 minutes. And we shouldn't overstate the fact that there's essentially no bench for the UConn Huskies, because even though Iowa has a bench, they rarely used it tonight. Essentially, they played one person off the bench also. The other person that came in off the bench had 2 fouls, 1 turnover, and that was it. No shots, nothing like that. So it was minimums. It was almost all the starters all the time for each side in this game. Iowa wins 71-69.
Now, you want a different angle on this. Let's listen to Gino Auriemma, who was asked about that illegal screenplay and the foul call on Aaliyah Edwards, and he gives you a little bit different perspective. You think he's a, oh my goodness, not a foul, not this, but listen to differently how he gets into it, and you can see yet another reason why the whistle should have stayed in the official's pocket. Here he was talking about that final play.
You know, what did you make of the illegal screen call there at the end?
I mean, there's probably an illegal screen call you could make on every single possession. I just know there were 3 or 4 of them called on us, and I don't think there were any called on them. So I guess we just got to get better at not setting illegal screens.
By the way, somebody tweeted, I wish I remember who it was, after this game ended, that if that's an illegal screen call, then all the Golden State baskets need to be called back.
we need to.
This does happen.
We have to cancel the dynasty. Yeah, I'm sorry. You have to give back all those rings, guys, all those screens. Now, look, because he brings up a great point, because we talked about this earlier in the show, in that in the Super Bowl, the last couple of years, not so much this year, but the 2 Super Bowls before it, right? The Rams Super Bowl and the Chiefs Super Bowl win over the Eagles. The game is officiated one way for 58 minutes, and then it's officiated a different way in the final 2 minutes.
Especially at the line of scrimmage, where, as Belichick has said, what is obvious is they don't want a parade of holding calls.
Right, exactly. And that's what this gets into, is that, you know, is it right to officiate the game one way for 58 minutes and then differently the final 2 minutes? No, it's not. You need to be consistent on it. If you're not making a call for 58 minutes, you're not making the call here in the final 2 minutes, right? There was a lot of screens, a lot of heavy screens. Every play, Iowa was setting screen after screen after screen
to
get Caitlin Clark open, and yet, as Gino said, we didn't get any calls on it. Right? Hey, conspiracy theorists, we didn't get any calls on that. And they were setting screens. I watched one play where Caitlin Clark fought through 4 screens to get the ball. Each of her teammates set a screen for her. She moved from one side of the court all the way to the other just to get the ball. And she was able to finally lose Nika Mule, the defender who had hounded her the entire game, and was able to step back and hit a 3. So this is going on the entire game. And now is when you blow the whistle? When UConn sets a screen, now is when you blow the whistle on it? Really? I mean, really? Heavy screens all game, and now you blow the whistle. In the NFL, you could call holding on every play. And this is kind of what Gino Auriemma is saying. Look, you can call fouls all the time in basketball. You can call fouls on illegal screens, on screens all the time. You can find something to blow the whistle on every single time a screen is set. Yet, this is where they blow the whistle on it. And this is where it happens. You don't blow a whistle for a holding penalty on an iffy play where it's the final 2 minutes of the Super Bowl. It's the final 30 seconds. And it's a big thing with officiating now, is that that's how games are getting officiated at the end. We are now deciding we're taking the whistle out of our pockets, and stuff that happened the first few minutes of a game, or the first, not first few minutes, the first 98% of the game, that no longer is good. And now you have to change the way you do things because we're going to blow the whistle now. And that's not how it should be done. So a different way to look at it from Gino Orhimer, where he says, hey, we got to worry about not setting illegal screens, tongue in cheek. But that's really another part of this is that, hey, you watched the way the game went the entire time. Mm-hmm. Iowa was setting screens the whole game. Whole game they were setting screens. And yet this one they blow the whistle on right there. Exit out by DeFresca, exit Swollen Dome. Again, I tell conspiracy theorists, I can't disagree with you. I can't disagree with you. Coming up next, so what is now next? Can Iowa win the title on Sunday over South Carolina? More importantly, does Caitlin Clark need to win the title to validate her career, which is what's being thrown around the last couple of days? A definitive answer to that coming up next right here. Jason Smith, Steve DeSay, you're in for Mike Harmon. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. Job searching can be a lonely process. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish. It's time for a better way to find a job. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you. Each year, tens of thousands of job seekers find work with help of Express Employment Professionals, and Express helps people find all kinds of jobs, from manufacturing to logistics to customer service to accounting and more. Getting an interview with Express can be as easy as a phone call, and with just one application with Express Employment Professionals, you're in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Make your job search easier by letting the professionals at Express be your talent agent to find you the right spot on a great team. Express Employment Professionals is your one connection for getting a job. Visit expresspros.com today.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Steve DeSager in from Mike Harmon. You know what I didn't realize, Steve, is the stress eating that I've been doing following this game with Iowa and UConn.
Really?
Do you have Harmon's credit card also?
Oh, yeah. You don't know all the stuff I bought tonight. and I don't really, I get the term stress eating, and I never feel like I'm a stress eater because
really?
I'm just a
Mets fan.
I just like to eat. No, there's no stress. I mean, I know, look, we're going to lose. I just like to eat.
You mean you're not paying attention and just downing one thing after another?
Yeah, but this after this game, like, oh my, I'm talking about it, the energy. energy. Like, I finished my dinner, which was tuna mac, and then I said, I'm going to go finish my rest of my piece of cheesecake that I had from Cheesecake Factory. I had that. I said, I went back and said, I want to have a couple of chocolate chip cookies. I had a couple of chocolate chip cookies.
Whoa, double dessert.
I went down. I said, I'm going to get a little bit of popcorn. I mean, like, I'm stress eating following this game just because of the excitement and the stress and the ridiculousness of the call and everything. And I'm stress eating over a game that I didn't have a dog in the fight on. Like, I didn't, like, yes.
Or a Husky.
Iowa could win or UConn could win. And even I picked Iowa to win. And it came down to exactly what I said. It was going to be close, but I didn't think UConn was going to have enough because it's going to be the end of the tournament for them. They only play six players. They're going to be exhausted. And Iowa will have enough to get by before they play South Carolina on Sunday. That's exactly what happened. And I was right, but I still feel wrong. Because, you know, UConn should have had a chance to make that last shot, and I'm stress eating, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing it. I didn't even root for either of these. I don't care who won. Yes, is it more fun that Caitlin Clark won? Yes, of course it is, because that makes Sunday even better in her playing with a chance to win a championship. Yes, absolutely.
And it's a rematch.
On the McDonald's yet?
Yeah, I mean, I might go after the show. I might say, I got to go to McDonald's.
Might.
You got to make me a Monster Mac, man. Sir, we don't do that here. No, I'm not leaving until you do it. I'm going to make you make me a Monster Mac, man. You make me a Monster Mac right
Shake,
now.
Shake, another cookie. You know, some people consider cheesecake so filling that it's almost a meal in itself.
Not
for you, it's between the actual meal and two cookies.
Now, here's the thing. Let me tell you, here's the thing. I had about, like, the pieces of cheesecake from Cheesecake Factory are pretty big. I probably had about a third of my cheesecake left because I got it a couple of days ago. I'm not saying I downed a whole big piece of cheesecake. You know, 4,000 calories.
Making it like a normal dessert now. Still.
I had about a third of it left, and then I still wanted cookies and popcorn after it was over. I don't know what it was.
Everything is final in Deportes this evening as in Anaheim, the Angels gave up five homers to the Red Sox. Boston won the late game 8-6. Clippers won the late NBA game easily because they were playing Utah, which has lost 11 in a row. We had the two final four games in women's hoops, and Saturday night, men's national semifinals, number one Connecticut defending champ against Alabama in its first Final Four, and that's after Purdue against NC State from Arizona, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
You tell me all this, I'm getting hungry. If we had another hour on the show after this, I would send Frostberg out for McDonald's. I'd say, hey, let's go get McDonald's. Let's go get McDonald's. Bring it back. I'm having a Big Mac attack really bad. Let's have something, man.
You and then we got the women's final on Sunday and the men's final on Monday night. This is not going to end.
He doesn't go to McDonald's.
No, you can eat McDonald's as long as there's no cheese on it,
I've
right?
I've never stepped foot in a McDonald's.
No, stop. Even when you were a kid, you never went to
never.
McDonald's? Stop.
Not once.
Stop.
Not even the ball pit.
What if
I do not believe this.
I've never been in McDonald's.
What if I brought Chicken McNuggets back for you? You
would eat
Chicken McNuggets, right? You would never
eat real chicken.
You wouldn't eat nuggies? Wouldn't eat some nuggies?
He's got you there.
What if they were Andy Reid nuggies? You wouldn't eat Andy Reid nuggies? No?
I hate Andy Reid.
What about the cookies? What about the Shamrock Shake?
Shamrock Shake. No, Frostberg can't have dairy. Or he'll have
He's
a flesh neck brace.
Give me a flush neck brace.
So wait a minute. There's dairy in the shake and there's meat in the burger? Is this what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's dairy on the shake and meat in the burger.
What is going on with this menu?
That sounds like a country music song. And there's dairy in the shake and there's meat in the burger. And
Smith, stress eating, that's just a Friday.
Yeah, I mean, No. This was like, I'm like, wow, I'm like hungry. It's exciting. It's unbelievable.
I'm more like hangry after that call at the end of the UConn game.
Yeah, I mean, look, and how are the men's games going to live up to this? I mean, really, how are they going to live
up
to this tomorrow?
The answer is not.
They're not.
Did we not mention the UConn 30-0 run they had last weekend?
Iowa-UConn tonight is going to wind up surpassing Iowa-LSU a couple nights ago as the most watched women's game of all time. And then Sunday, the championship against South Carolina will wind up passing this game as the most watched women's game.
Yeah, that's
of all
on
time.
A regular channel Sunday, yeah.
That's how it's going to go, man. This is just some kind of week. And, you know, would it be different if the men's tournament seemed, I don't want to say more competitive, but would it seem different if there were, you know, if Duke was in the Final Four or if there were some more heritage teams in there or more personalities or yeah, maybe, but I think still the women's tournament would overshadow it. I mean, I read a really funny bit today about a lot of college basketball insiders that talked about how is this tournament going to be remembered, right? How will you remember this NCAA tournament? And I saw a lot of responses from some, like Jeff Goodman and a bunch of people and ESPN and Fox, and they said, well, I'll remember it as a great tournament because we had the upsets and we had the ones make it all the way through. I'll remember it as one of the classic ones because it's a throwback to when UNLV was winning national titles, how dominant UConn is. And all these great, some people saying, I remember it as a bad tournament because the controversy about the teams that were selected and were let in was something that was still a controversy a week, 2 weeks into the tournament. But I look back and I go, no, I'm going to remember this tournament as this is the tournament where the women's tournament overshadowed it, where the women's tournament was bigger than the men's tournament. More people cared about it than
not in ratings, in about caring. People still absolutely watch the men's tournament. I still heard hosts this week saying, you know, the women's has passed. No, no, don't go there. Iowa gets great ratings. The whole women's tournament, not in the least has it outrated the men's tournament this year. Yeah. Iowa is getting ratings this year that Duke and Zion Williamson got a few years ago in the NCAAs. There's your parallel.
Yeah, it's not the whole women's tournament. It's Caitlin Clark in Iowa. And it just so happens that you're going to have a gauntlet of LSU, which is a very powerful and popular national team with Kim Mulkey and Angel Reese. UConn with Gina Auriemma and Paige Beckers has been the standard bearer for so long. And now you have South Carolina and Dawn Staley, another undefeated season. What are they, 108-3 the last couple of years?
They have loss the last 2 years, and it was to Iowa in the Final Four when they came in undefeated a year ago.
And just like Ryan Day at Ohio State, whose record is like 68-4, Dawn Staley loses on Sunday, they're going to want her fired. You can't win. You're undefeated in the regular season. We want you out. This is terrible. How are you going to win?
Actually, Gino kind of referenced this, Gino Auriemma, that UConn's program is somehow down when they keep making Final Fours. Good point.
Yeah, but look, it's about, well, when you're about, now he's also moving the goalposts where, because he was about winning. What's he got, 11? He was about winning the national championship.
Well, 33-6, that's a lot of winning still.
No, it's great, but it's more of a, hey, people say we're down. We're still going to Final Fours, man. Get off my back. But to sit here and say, hey, getting to a Final Four is suddenly as good as winning? No. You were winning, and now you're not, because college basketball has gotten better, teams have gotten better, and it's more difficult because you're facing teams for championships that are really, really good. Instead of facing one or two good teams on your way to winning the championship, now you're facing four or five, and now the teams you're facing at the end are better than anybody you had faced up until that point. So, yeah, Gino's kind of moving the goalposts a little bit because, you talked about winning, now it's now Final Fours. That's like me saying for Syracuse, hey, we won the national championship. Hey, we're going to Final Fours. Hey, we're going to Sweet 16s. Hey, we're getting in the tournament every year. Hey, we're eligible for the NIT. Like, how much am I going to move and measure where success is going to be? I mean, really.
And so often UConn has been in, by comparison, bad conferences, and therefore they don't quite get challenged in conference. However, I will say this is great for women's basketball in general because I remember, been an anchor for a few years now, women's basketball scores, a lot of time you'd have top 25 matchups and one would be just blowing out the other by 20 constantly 10, 15 years ago plus. And that happens less now. The last undefeated national champion we had was UConn, but that was 2016. That's 8 years ago, where it seemed like so often we would get somebody with a chance at an undefeated season going into the tournament. So often we would get, I repeat, good team versus supposed good team, and it was a mismatch. Here we've had great games.
Now, what's going to happen on Sunday for Caitlin Clark in Iowa? Everything is going, I feel like the evil genius in a movie, everything is going according to plan. The other night I said, hey, three reasons why Iowa's going to fall short. The emotional toll is going to come due at some point in the next couple of games. LSU, UConn, South Carolina, eventually you're going to wind up a little bit flat. That's only natural. You had a basic championship game against Iowa, against LSU, and you can say, oh, we still going. So, no, there's a toll. There was a toll tonight against UConn. UConn and South Carolina, neither of them are going to allow Caitlin Clark to control the game like Kim Mulkey and LSU did. These teams are also better and deeper, and especially South Carolina. And when I broke this down the other night, I said it's going to come to an end in the next couple of games. I wouldn't be surprised if UConn won, but I think Iowa's going to have enough to get by them because Caitlin Clark, they're the number one seed for a reason. UConn is playing. They're missing some players. They'll have enough to get by. But Sunday against South Carolina is going to be an entirely different thing. You're talking about the best team in the country, bar none, who has been playing this game for a year against Iowa. Every time they take the court, they thought about this game. They have been waiting for this game for a year, and top to bottom, they're a better team than Iowa. Iowa will keep it close. It'll be a game for a while, but you know that Caitlin Clark, it's going to be like it was tonight. She's going to have to earn every bit of her point totals, and tonight, 21-9-7, hey, terrific game, led Iowa to victory, didn't control the game like she normally does. That's not going to happen on Sunday. South Carolina is just too good. And it's a huge thing to think about Dawn Staley because she replaced five starters. Five, not one, not two, like I'm LeBron James, not three, not four. Five starters from last year, and yet now, bang, we're just as good, even better, because here we are in the championship game, ready to win, right? We're ready to win here, and we've been waiting for this game for a year. So, yeah, usually when you see the best player against the best team, it's going to wind up the best team usually wins because they usually have enough because the support players just don't have enough. And they did have enough tonight because the one thing storybook you can say for Iowa is that when Caitlin Clark was struggling a little bit, you had other players make big shots, right? Martin hit a big three, and Marshall hit a big three, and a Folter hit a big three. And they had a couple of big layups when Clark was looking for someone backdoor or coming off a screen, and they were there. That's not going to happen against South Carolina. That the support players is not going to happen. And is Caitlin Clark going to score 60? She's not. And that's what you normally, when it's that one best player against the best team does it. It'll be the same thing in the men's tournament. If we wind up getting UConn and Purdue, which we should, it'll be the best player in the country, Zach Edey, against the best team. And UConn is loaded front court, back court, everything. They're going to wind up winning this game. So I see both title games, because I'm going to put UConn and Purdue in the title game too. Both title games coming to the same way. Hey, individual best player, best team in the country, best team is going to win both those games.
Well, you referenced the Purdue men. Don't forget the regional final last weekend. When they beat Tennessee, Zach Edey had 40 points. The rest of his team had 32 combined. A year ago, he was player of the year nationally, and they lost in the first round. Today, he's named player of the year, according to AP. They have a chance to get to the national final. Unfortunately, it'll probably be against a Connecticut team that has trailed literally for less than 30 seconds total so far in the entire NCAA tournament. The Huskies, UConn men, have a tournament record going. Not just double-digit victories, it's 10 straight double-digit victories in the tournament going back to last year. And as for South Carolina, who is most definitely favored in the women's championship game for Sunday against Iowa, what just kills me watching South Carolina year after year now is the amount of height that they can throw out there. It's really kind of stunning. Their star center from Brazil this year, Camilo Cardoso, is 6'7", but they had someone off the bench at 6'3", getting 20 rebounds in this game against NC State. So yeah, South Carolina was only up by one at the half. It was game over before the third quarter was even finished. 78-59, South Carolina, the final. I would like to see how Iowa combats the height that undefeated South Carolina is going to throw at them Sunday.
Exit, how about a Fresca? The Jason Smith Show with Steve DeSager in for Mike Harmon. We have more on the huge night in college basketball tonight, the huge day in college basketball tomorrow, but the biggest story of the night, Jeff McNeil getting off the schneid with a home run to help the Mets to a 3-2 victory over the Reds. Steve DeSager has that and more right now with What's Trending.
Well, I might actually lead with the final game of the night. It was the Angels' home opener, and they actually made a game of it, but Boston won its fifth game in a row, hitting five home runs, beating the Halos in Anaheim 8-6. They got solo shots, the Red Sox did, in the eighth and the ninth innings. Milwaukee's 5-1, got a run bottom of the ninth to beat Seattle 6-5 on a bases-loaded walk. Seattle had just scored two runs top of the ninth to tie. Texas, the defending champs, got a home win over Houston 10-2. The Rangers are 5-2. Adolis Garcia, 3-run homer and an RBI single, and the winning pitcher Cody Bradford pitched into the 8th inning with just 1 run allowed. How are the Houston Astros doing so far? 2-6 the record. Houston's offense tonight at Texas was 3-for-31. Well, the Texas offense had 16 hits. At Kansas City, the Royals with a run.
Can you tell me real fast who has a better record, the Mets or the Astros? Can you tell me who's got a better record?
The Mets have won 2 days in a row, right?
We're hot.
So it's 2-5, and Houston is 2-6.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
You know, I told you the first day of the season, when the Mets had that rain out and you were saying, we're alone in first place, you should have saved that clip because it wasn't going to apply for the rest of the year. Okay, so you found some sort of positive. Congrats.
Yeah,
congrats.
Everything went downhill from there, Steve-O.
Kansas City. Well, you want downhill. Kansas City beat Mike Harmon's White Sox 2-1. The White Sox are 1-6. Their offense was 4-for-28 and gave up a run bottom of the 8th to lose. The Mets win was 3-2 at Cincinnati. The Mets had been 0-5 after they lost the first of that twin bill yesterday. They wound up getting the split despite not much offense, and they wound up winning today despite not much offense, 4-for-30 at the plate. And, of course, they had rainouts Tuesday and Wednesday and literally no offense there. At Atlanta tonight, in 10 innings, the Braves beat Arizona 6-5. Braves with 2 runs in the bottom of the 9th, 1 run in the 10th. But the story is the Braves superstar right-hander Spencer Strider. He allowed 5 runs in his 4 innings. He will have an MRI on his elbow. Philadelphia won 4-0 at Washington. Aaron Nola the win. Nationals fall to 2-5. And San Francisco had lost 4 in a row, but edged the Padres with a run bottom of the 9th, 3-2. Detroit with a run bottom of the 8th, beat Oakland 5-4. The A's record 1-7. Detroit Tigers now 6-1. Colorado's opener, well, not too bad at home. A walk-off grand slam to beat Tampa Bay 10-7. Baltimore, a 5-2 winner at Pittsburgh. Pirates had been 6-1 to start the season. As for the Cubs, 5 straight wins and another day game at Wrigley against the Dodgers tomorrow. Temperature in the low 40s today, and of course, windy in the Windy City. 9-7, the Cubs beat the Dodgers, ending LA's 4-game winning streak. Bobby Miller took the loss. Shohei Ohtani did hit a 2-run homer. Toronto shut out the Yankees in New York's home opener, 3-0. It was 1-0 going to the 9th. Then Toronto scored 2 runs on wild pitches. The Yankees had been 6-1 all on the road to start the season. In the NBA late game, the Clippers sent Utah to an 11th straight loss. Toronto had lost 15th in a row, but won at Milwaukee. Miami won at Houston, so the Rockets are all but eliminated from the play-in possibilities. Boston edged Sacramento 101-100. Sam Hauser of the Celtics with Jaylen Brown out with a sprained hand. Hauser started and went 1-for-18 shooting from the floor. So you thought we saw some bad shooting early in the Iowa-UConn game. No, sir. You missed the Celtics game tonight. Iowa 71-69 over UConn at the Women's Final Four. That was after number one South Carolina eliminated NC State 78-59. NASCAR reminder is on FS1 this Sunday from Martinsville. The Xfinity race is Saturday night, also on FS1. This Sunday, Fox TV has a game from the new United Football League, Houston at DC. Back to you.
Hey guys, real quick, back to that Angel game.
Sure.
For 278 days, Anthony Rendon did not have a hit in Major League Baseball. He started the season 0-for-21. And on April 5th, in the 6th inning, with a score of 5-5, this happened.
Sox was their defense. They made the second most errors in baseball. Rendon trying to leg out his first hit of the year.
Infield hit, and the crowd goes wild.
That's beauty of baseball right there. Standing O on an infield knock.
Pick me out a good bet.
Pick me a winner, Bobby. Didn't he have something? What did he say before the season? Like, he said, hey,
just
I'm
playing
rich
for the
as
contract.
Hell. I don't care.
He's here so he doesn't get fined, is what he said.
Yeah. Pick me a winner, Bobby.
Still cashing the checks.
Okay. That's the voice special. I'm legging one out. You know, just real quick on the natural, just really quick, wouldn't you have intentionally walked Roy Hobbs at that point? There was second and third, 2 outs. You're really going to pitch to him?
I remember the runner at third. Come on, Roy!
Yeah, come on. One time. Yeah, Bivens was at third. But don't you walk him and say, okay, we're going to put you at first.
You know, and then they would start throwing things and the game would never finish. The fans would uproar.
But, you know, the career of Nebraska farm boy John Rhodes might have been different. Yeah. They say he had the best fastball in major leagues at that point.
He was like a new Roy Hobbs.
Yep. And look, it could have been all different for him. Coming up next, final thoughts on the biggest controversy tonight, Iowa's victory over UConn, the foul call that will live forever. It's next right here. Jason Smith, Steve DeSager in for Mike Harmon. This is.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. Job searching can be a lonely process. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish. It's time for a better way to find a job. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you. Each year, tens of thousands of job seekers find work with help of Express Employment Professionals, and Express helps people find all kinds of jobs, from manufacturing to logistics to customer service to accounting and more. Getting an interview with Express can be as easy as a phone call, and with just one application with Express Employment Professionals, you're in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Make your job search easier by letting the professionals at Express be your talent agent to find you the right spot on a great team. Express Employment Professionals is your one connection for getting a job. Visit expresspros.com today.
p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Special delivery, Steve DeSager in for Harmon tonight. As we talk about the controversial call, the brutal offensive foul that cost UConn the game. And we've talked about that from a lot of different angles tonight. Blowing the whistle on a call that could go either way in that situation. So many things about it. But now let's look at it differently, because I'll take it from the other angle of, okay, this whole thing, how big a deal was it, right? Now, first I'm going to say this about the call, because I'll give credit where credit's due, is Marshall does a great job in selling that call. You know, Steve, we talked about this a couple hours ago, that she runs into Aaliyah Edwards, and you saw her back off, you know, moves her head towards the official and gives that. She sells the call real well. Short of falling down to the ground and pretending she was knocked out, she sells the call really well. She still wants to try to get there and get to the ball, but she sells the call really well, and if that had a little bit to do with the referee blowing the whistle, I give a lot of credit, because when you can sell a call like that, that's great. That's bad. That's not cheating. That's basketball. When
but
you
she's
sell
also
call, you sell the call.
She's also much shorter than the person setting the pick. She's a 5'9 guard running straight into Aaliyah Edwards.
Right. And so it's going to be a collision that looks worse than it is, because you have a 5'8 player against someone who's a lot taller. And I'm sorry, again, this goes back to why it's a bad call. Just because she ran into her and the one player is bigger doesn't mean that, oh, well, the player's littler. So no, it's not. It's not the case. Of course, it's going to be more violent because she's giving away probably 50 pounds to her. But the biggest thing is this, and I don't know how much time people are going to spend on this, but I don't know what kind of shot UConn was going to get off even if they didn't blow the whistle. Okay, because you could see what their play was for Paige Beckers to suck the attention towards her, dish it off for what they expected to be a layup. Except Iowa blew up the play and had a defender there. So now suddenly, okay, we're turning the ball out and we're figuring something else out on the wing. So now,
because they only had 10 seconds to, and they had already used up more than half of their 10 seconds here late in the game, down one.
Yeah, you're talking about now there's 5 seconds left and I'm not getting this shot off. What do we do? And four UConn players are all on the left side of the court. So, of course, we're looking back this way to try to get the ball out. And while this is going on is when Marshall is running into Aaliyah Edwards and the pass gets out to Paige Beckers and the whistle is blown with Beckers with the ball behind the three-point line and two defenders right there. And she doesn't get the ball in a shooting position, and it's not like it's a big catch and shoot. So there's not a lot that UConn has going on this final play. Now, you don't know what could happen. There's still 3.5 seconds left to go, and UConn could have passed out. Maybe Beckers hits a miracle three. Maybe she passes out of it. Somebody else is open in the lane, and they get a layup. I mean, that could have happened. But the way where that play stood right there, that was big-time advantage Iowa and not to UConn, because you had all the defenders, everybody on that side of the floor, and with the panic setting in, where 4 seconds, 3 seconds, someone's going to take a quick shot. You can sit here and say, "Oh, I got an internal clock in my head," all you want, but you know how it's going to go. Hey, there's a lot of things that can happen, and the tension is ratcheted. Could there have been a bad shot? Yeah. Could have went in, could have banked one in. You never know how it would have gone. But right then at that point, that was a bad time for UConn. They did not have a lot going on. I didn't like where they had the ball and what was happening at that point, because likely it might have been, I'm sure Beckers would have thrown up a three, a real big time challenge three that probably doesn't have a great chance of going in. Getting the ball there with 3 seconds left, maybe a quick dribble, maybe she holds it to see, maybe it's a step up and step back, but I think she's probably hoisting up a big three, and you know what? Beckers didn't have a big night. Right. Doesn't mean she can't make the shot, but when you throw all this going on, there was kind of big advantage Iowa because they blew up what I'm sure UConn thought was going to be the play.
And then after this foul called for the illegal screen, UConn, second later at the other end, fails to get the rebound on a Caitlin Clark missed
free throw. Or Iowa
fails
to get the rebound on the
well, it was tie-up, but the possession went to Iowa. But if the defense, which theoretically has better inside position on any missed free throw, could have just grabbed, and they had a timeout left, as I recall, could have just grabbed the board, UConn could have a play for the final 3 seconds and then at least get a shot off. As it turned out, the foul on Aaliyah Edwards for the illegal screen was the last time the Huskies had the ball right there with 4 seconds left. That was their last possession. Iowa winds up winning by two. The other thing that could have happened, what if the little guard, Marshall of Iowa, runs into the person setting the screen, the quick whistle is called, and it's a call on Iowa for running straight into the person setting the pick. Then someone's going to the line down one. UConn had a chance, would have had a chance to score that way.
See, I think that would have been, that's a no call at that point. Because let's just say there's no call and the ball gets to Beckers and Beckers hits a three and UConn wins the game. Are people really going crazy saying, how do you not call an illegal screen there on Aaliyah Edwards? They're not. No one's doing that. No one's saying, oh, that was right. Look at that. It's such a textbook call. No one is doing it. No one is saying Aaliyah Edwards.
In the
no
men's game, doing. Remember, there was the travel before Chris Webber called the timeout they didn't have in the Michigan final. They didn't call the travel in the backcourt.
I remember Dean Smith jumping up and down going, he traveled. Oh, he called a timeout. Oh, so we're good. It's all good. Steve-O, great job tonight, my friend. Thank you so much.
Nice talking to you.
I'm going to keep stress eating as Bernie Fratto entertains you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.